This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching a special series on parenting. And now here's Pastor Sandy with his continuing message called A Parent's Purpose in Ephesians 6.
It's really saying that a rebellious child is prone to make foolish and costly mistakes. And as a result, that child could die at a young age. And having so alienated the people who once loved them, there might be no one left to give them a decent burial. And so in ancient times, they would just throw his carcass out as food to the vultures. But the point of the interpretation is the same, is it not? You'll live longer and you'll live better if you obey your parents. There's one other reason why kids should obey their parents. We learn to obey and honor God by first obeying and honoring our parents. It's a picture. You see, God uses our relationship with our parents to deepen our relationship with Him. I mean, how can a person submit to God, an authority they can't see, if they're unable to submit to the authority that they can see, their parents? Loads of people today have a hard time obeying God because they never learned obedience to their parents. I view my children's obedience to me not as an end in itself. I'm not some power-hungry parent on an ego trip. I've never bullied my kids just so I could feel like I was in control. No, I love my kids. With all my heart, I love them. And I always saw their obedience and respect toward me as the first step toward them learning how to obey and respect the Lord. On the surface, Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 3 are instructions addressed to children, not parents. But I take these verses as also verses that communicate a parent's purpose. I mean, if a child is supposed to obey and respect, then shouldn't a parent's job be to teach them how to obey and respect? To me, this is foundational. The purpose of a parent is to teach their children obedience and respect. Understand, obedience and respect for one's parents are not traits that come naturally to us. Obedience and respect have to be taught and instilled and insisted upon. And thus, the obligation that God places upon children becomes the purpose of their parents. Again, the job of every parent is to teach their kids obedience and respect. Feeding, clothing, protecting, educating, training, entertaining your child are all part of parenthood. But parent, if you're not teaching your child obedience and respect, you're not doing the job. A parent's primary purpose is not to win their kid's friendship or make their kid happy. It's to teach that child obedience and respect. And that's true if your child is 15 months old or 15 years old. God puts no statute of limitations on His command. Obedience and respect should be lifelong traits. Now, it's impossible to be the parent that God desires you to be until you realize a basic truth. And that is this: your kids are little sinners. They are born rebels. They exit the womb defiant and self-centered. You don't teach a baby to cry when it doesn't get its way. I have 4 kids, and laboratory findings reveal selfishness is a natural trait. Recently, I ran across an instructive document. It's entitled Property Law from a Toddler's Perspective. Law number 1, if I like it, it's mine. Law number 2, if I can take it away from you, it's mine. Number 3, if I had it a while ago, it's mine. Number 4, if I say it's mine, it's mine. Number 5, if it looks like mine, it's mine. Number 6, if I say I saw it first, it's mine. Number 7, if you're having fun with it, it's mine. Number 8, if you lay it down, it's mine. And lastly, if it's broken, it's yours. Hey, when kids are born, they have no respect for other people, nor are they willing to obey standards that limit their behavior. Children are greedy and selfish and totally preoccupied with three people: me, myself, and I. Parents, your children are sinful little buzzards. Now, granted, this may not be obvious at first. I mean, you bring that newborn home, and he or she looks so cute and so precious and innocent and tender and adorable. But you got to know that deep down inside, your baby is in reality a diabolical, ruthless, sinister sinner dressed incognito. The Minnesota Commission on Crime was established to study the spiraling rates of crime in Minnesota. Here's an excerpt from their findings. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toy, his uncle's watch. Deny these and he sees with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He is in fact dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in the self-centered world of his infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child will grow up to be a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. Understand, parents, your child resembles two people. And I'm not talking about his mother and his father. First, the Bible teaches us that human beings were made in God's image and in God's likeness. According to Psalm 139, every boy and girl has been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. All human beings bear the stamp of God upon their life. But your child also resembles another person, and that is the first man, Adam. For he too was made in God's image, but something went terribly wrong. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, we're told, Adam begot a son in his own likeness after his own image. Notice that. In Adam, the image of God was dominant. But in his son, he more closely resembled Adam. The Bible teaches that Adam's sin marred God's image in both himself and in his offspring. Adam bit the forbidden fruit and made a choice for all mankind. That through Adam, sin passed down to all humanity. And due to his sin, now you and I and all kids are born with a nature that opposes God. Hey, we are rebels from the womb. You see, this is why your child resembles two people. Despite his sin, your child still bears in him the marks of God, the marks of God's creation. His intelligence and creativity and initiative. Her conscience and moral center. Their spirituality and hunger for meaning and truth. These are all traits embedded in their nature by the hand of God. But the Adams family is a good thing gone bad. You see, one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. Adam's sin also made pride and selfishness a human trait. It robbed us of what God intended. And now, if left by their lonesome, your child will disobey and go his own way. That's why if he or she is going to learn obedience and respect, they have to be taught it by their parents. And to effectively parent a child, both resemblances have to be kept in view by that parent. Help your child identify their God-given traits and personality. Rejoice in the talents and characteristics with which he or she has been blessed. But at the same time, parent, realize that there's always a rebellion bubbling up under the surface of your child. It could explode at any moment. That's why every child needs parents in his or her life who will insist on their obedience and their respect. Now understand, when Paul uses the word obey in verse 1, it's a translation of a Greek word which means to hear under or to listen to attentively. Thus, the first step in teaching obedience to your child is to cultivate in them a listening ear. If you want children to obey you, they first need a willingness to listen to you. They have to be eager to receive. I like this saying, parents need to talk to their kids in a way that will encourage them to listen, and listen to their kids in a way that will encourage them to talk. Parents, imagine a 12-foot giant hovering over you with a scowl on his or her face. That giant is angry and upset, and it's clear that you are the object of his frustration. If you were faced with that kind of scenario, your inclination wouldn't be to sit down and hear what he had to say. It wouldn't be to sit down for a little chat. No, if you were face to face with such a giant, you'd want to run for the hills. You'd want to get out of Dodge. I mean, you'd run for your life. Well, when a 6-foot tall parent hovers over a 3-foot tall toddler, that's how that child is going to perceive that parent, the same way that you might perceive the giant who's hovering over you. And if you're obviously angry and frustrated, don't expect your child to eagerly want to sit still and listen to what you have to say. Parents, if you want your kids to obey, they have to hear. And I mean hear more from you than just your words. Do they hear your heart? Do they sense your love for them? Do you stoop down to their level and communicate in ways they can grasp? And of course, here, Jesus is our example. I mean, God could have remained in his lofty perch, removed from our predicament. Instead, he took on flesh and blood and he became one of us. He descended to our level. He stepped down into our shoes. And this is the way we should approach our children. We should communicate in relatable ways. I remember watching Peter Jennings years ago on the ABC World News Tonight. After each broadcast, he would pick up the telephone. One time he explained why. He said, "I don't like news anchors who just sit there and shuffle papers. So I got in the habit of picking up the phone." And guess who he called? He said, "Well, sometimes I called the producers to see if they liked the show. But just as often, I'd call my children and tell them I was on my way home for dinner." I thought that was so great. I mean, after he gave news to the world, Peter Jennings engaged in his most vital communication. He called his kids. Likewise, all parents need to stop shuffling papers for a while and focus on communicating with their children. You see, even when a child grows to the point where they can look a parent eye to eye, communication is still the key. Cultivate a listening relationship with your child, and they'll hear your heart and be more inclined to obey. When Natalie reached dating age, we had a rule in our house. Before she could date a guy, I had to meet him. And it wasn't so much because of the information that I would glean from meeting the boy. Usually all 15-year-old boys are punks. I kind of knew where he was coming from already. I knew what the guy was thinking. No, the reason we had these encounters was what he could glean about me. That I was a grown man, that I had some physical stature, that I was proficient in firearms, that I would do whatever it took to defend my family. He needed to know that. And I'll never forget the first of these boys. This guy wanted to take Natalie to the homecoming dance. And so we met at Fuddruckers up here on Highway 124 back, I guess it's closed down now, but back when Fuddruckers was serving burgers. And we talked a little bit, and then I drove him home. But as we got into the car, I said to him, I said, "Son, give me your wallet." Well, he was a little unsure, but he really wasn't in a place to argue. And so he pulled his wallet out and he handed it over to me. I took his wallet and I stuck it in my pocket. When we got to his house in Grayson, he started to get out of the car, and that's when he'd forgotten about his wallet. He was a little intimidated. And that's when I pulled his wallet out of my pocket and I handed it back to him. But before I turned it loose, I told him, "Son, I appreciate you trusting me with something as important to you as your wallet. And you'll find that I'm returning it to you in exactly the same condition it was in when I took it. Now I'm trusting you with something much more valuable to me than a wallet, and I expect it returned in exactly the same shape it was in when you left with it." Well, my instructions were both heard and obeyed. And I think effective communication had a big part in the outcome. You see, too often we parents, we only react to our kids. We only talk to them. Well, really, we more talk at them than talk to them. We talk to them without really thinking through what we need to say. We're reactionary. I think the key to instilling obedience in our kids is to get their ear by communicating to them in wise and in compelling ways to think through what we want to say and how we want to say it. Realize, too, it's possible for a child to obey a parent without respecting them. This is why obedience is just half the goal. A parent's purpose is to teach their child respect as well as obedience, as Paul puts it, to honor his parents. Don't settle for mere obedience without respect. With my kids, I was as quick to address and correct a bad attitude as I was a bad behavior, maybe even quicker. I've seen parents bribe or threaten their kids to obey. Such an approach may get a desired result, but it doesn't teach the child the importance of respect. It reminds me of the boy who misbehaved in school. He was made to stand in the corner, but all the while he was seething under his breath. He was saying, "I might be standing on the outside, but I'm sure sitting on the inside." That's obedience without respect. The Greek word translates in verse 2 as honor literally means to prize. Parents, do your kids prize you? Have you taught them to value their parents? When Zach was a tot, I asked him one day what he liked most about his dad. He said, when you wrestle with me. I said, well then, son, what do you like least about your dad? And his reply was obvious, when you spank me. And then I asked him what he liked most about his mom. He said, when she cooks me breakfast. I felt daring that day, wanted to kind of live life on the edge. And so I asked again, okay, son, what do you like least about your mom? Zach thought for a long minute, and I'll never forget, he said, Dad, everything mom does is good. That's a son who honors his mom. Hey, here's the key when it comes to teaching kids to honor their parents. Parent, nothing you do will yield the results that you desire if you don't act and speak in honorable ways. If you want your parents to honor you, you want your children to honor you, parents, then be honorable. Don't you dare be a parent who says, do what I say and not what I do. Your kids deserve better than that. That's a recipe for disaster. Parents are an example whether they want to be or not. In family life, values and truths are more caught than they are taught. Every parent influences their child for better or for worse. I got a nasty habit. When I'm out in the yard, I like to spit. I make no apologies for it. I just enjoy a good spit. Kathy hates it, but I don't even think about it anymore. Over the years, it's become a habit. I'll never forget, many years ago now, I was rounding the corner. I had Zach and Natalie and Nick all in tow. That's when Zach spit and Nick spit. And oh my, then my precious, adorable little princess, she clears her throat of saliva and Natalie blows out a big wad of spit. Now fast forward 25 years. A couple of weeks ago, Quincy's at the house. And guess what he does? He looks up and he says, look, gee, Daddy, I spit. Lo and behold, I have passed on my bad habits now to the third generation. Hey, what are you teaching your kids? For whether you desire it or not, a child will mimic his or her parents. If you want your kids to honor you, parents, then you need to act in honorable ways. Well, except for church these days, a parent doesn't get a lot of help from this world when it comes to fulfilling their purpose. Media moguls and advertising agencies and film producers and video game creators and music labels aren't real interested in teaching your kid obedience and respect. In fact, just the opposite is true. They spend millions of dollars advocating rebellion and disdain for authority. Your children's classmates and peers, even their public schools, aren't really helping either. Other than the church, parents today are operating in a hostile environment. Parents today, they need purpose and they need determination. It reminds me of Deborah Kemp's ordeal. It began when she rolled her car into the self-service pumps. Her six-year-old daughter, Ashley, was in the back seat. When Deborah walked around her car to begin pumping gas, suddenly a man climbed into the driver's seat of her vehicle. He was trying to steal her car. The 34-year-old woman said later, "I didn't try to be a hero. I was just concerned about my baby. That was part of me in that car." Well, as the man drove off, Deborah somehow managed to grab the door. And she clung to the steering wheel by reaching her hand inside the window. The thief drove several blocks, dragging her knees on the pavement as she held onto that steering wheel. Drawing on a hidden reservoir of strength, Deborah was somehow able to hang on. And as the car was still moving, she was able to open the door and she grabbed the thief and she pulled him out of the vehicle. When this would-be thief hit the ground, Deborah grabbed her club, the anti-theft device that she kept under the front seat, and she started beating the bad guy. Witnesses say that the man was apologizing and begging Deborah to stop as she clubbed him with a club. The moral of the story, don't mess with a parent. Debbie Kemp, skint knees and all, is one parent who's willing to put up a fight for her family. And this is what every parent should be willing to do. We live in a world full of disobedience and disrespect, and it'll rub off on your kids if their parents don't put up a fight. Our world is a hostile place to raise kids. We need a purpose. And then we need the tools to accomplish that purpose, a parent's tools. In closing, it was May the 30th, 1982, when God gave to my wife, Kathy, a prophecy. She was at a prayer meeting with some other pastors' wives when God spoke through one of the ladies and said, "By this time next year, you'll have a child." Well, my firstborn, Zach, came into the world exactly 364 days later. Just in the nick of time, according to the prophecy, on May the 29th, 1983. Prior to that amazing prophecy, Kathy and I had been trying for 2 years to have a child, but with no success. That's when God saw fit to open my wife's womb, and I mean wide open. I tease her now, barren Karen became fertile Myrtle. What we couldn't get started, now we couldn't get stopped. And 4 years later, or four kids later, there was no doubt that God had intended for us to be parents. You know, there are very few pursuits in my life that I can say with certainty were sanctioned by God. Very few. I've never been given a divine mandate to work in my yard. God has never said, "Sandy, play golf," or "Piddle on your computer." I've never heard, "Thus saith the Lord, Sandy, read the newspaper." But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have been called by God to parent my four kids. And if you're a parent, you have been called by God to do the same. And here's the question. Have you been parenting by default? Or do you parent your child with God's purpose in mind? You see, just birthing a child doesn't make you an effective parent. The difference is a purpose. We've only got one shot at this. Parents, let me encourage you to do it right. Are you teaching your children obedience and respect?
Thanks for joining us today for Sandy Adams Radio. We pray you've been encouraged by this series on parenting. If you'd like to hear more messages, visit our website at sandyadams.org or download our mobile app. The job of raising children is rewarding, but certainly challenging. We can use all the help we can get. If you'd like additional resources for biblical guidance as you pour into the next generation, Pastor Sandy has just the book for you. Let's hand it back to Sandy to tell you more.
Thanks, Josh. While we're talking about parenting, I'd like to tell our listeners about a book I've written that provides parents biblical guidelines for handling their children. I call it Kid Gloves. I found that parenting is all about the right grip. You need a tender touch and a firm grasp. And sometimes that balance is difficult to manage. You can get a copy of Kid Gloves on our website, sandyadams.org. That's sandyadams.org. There's a link at the top of the page.
Thanks, Pastor Sandy. If you're in the Atlanta area, we'd love to meet you. Come visit us here at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain on Sunday at 9:30 or 11:15 a.m. You'll be able to join Pastor Sandy in studying the Word and praising the name of Jesus. Find out more at sandyadams.org. That's all we have time for today. We hope you'll tune in again for more from God's Word right here on Sandy Adams Radio.